You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Stars, are you shining just for me? City of stars, there's so much that I can't see. Who knows? I felt it from the first embrace I shared with you.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. So happy you could join us. I am excited for this one because I've got two very dear friends, actual friends of mine. Also folks that I met through podcasting, but we're friends. Dan, say hello to the people. You know him from Netflix and Swill. Dan is back on the show. What's up, Danny boy?
I'm in the Four Timers Club.
Is this the fourth time?
This is the fourth time.
You're getting there, man. I got to come up with some t-shirts or something.
Let me actually think here.
Well, probably.
We did an episode together. Like the three, this trio has done an episode together before.
That's accurate.
You and I did a bonus episode about pro wrestlers.
That's accurate.
And we also did Netflix original series.
True.
So this is four.
And this is the fourth one.
The fifth one that we're planning with my co-host.
Yeah.
That should be obvious to everybody what that topic is.
Yeah. So Netflix and Swill, Dan, as you just heard, is a frequent collaborator here. And this is his fourth time on the show. Dan, I'm so happy to have you back, man. You know, you're one of my favorite peeps out there and you listen every week and you're a great supporter of the peas, man. So I appreciate you being here.
I say I listen every week. I listen.
You listen regularly, I guess, is
no, I'm fucking around. I do listen.
And then, you know, I had to do this, right? Because Dan's here. So I brought Ashley along. And
I have no idea who this woman is.
And
I've never met her before.
You know, I should tell everyone, Ashley, real quick before you say what's up, that we're counting down the top five cinematic romances, movie love stories on the big screen. Ashley, formerly of Rabbit Ears and now just kind of an all around amazing human being that's just out there in the world. What's up, babe? How are you?
Not bad. I've actually been out of podcasting for almost a year, but this is also my fourth time. So, Dan, you're not fucking special.
Oh, man.
How the fuck did you come for?
I did sci-fi with Andy and Gerald.
Right.
I did something with the best sitcoms with Paul and you, and then the Dan episode, and this is number four.
That is number four. So you both came on for the four timers. So who's going to be the first one to the five timers t-shirt? It's going to be a race.
Me.
Actually, it probably will be you because we scheduled that, right?
Me. Ashley doesn't have a podcast to promote.
I'm not on here right now with a podcast.
She's just friend of the show, man.
This is on purpose. Gerald approached us for this topic.
You know, and why did I do that? I want you guys to say. Because
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. Like I said, I've never met this woman before in my life.
Well, listen, it's cinematic romances. It's love stories, right? And you guys got a little love story going on, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to fucking shut down his running gag because it's never going to end if
this
I don't.
What's funny, Ashley, is a year ago, a little over a year ago, when you two were on with me,
mm-hmm.
I knew about it, but
nobody else did.
It wasn't really a thing, you know, publicly.
No, there were reasons for keeping it on the down low, but those reasons are shot to shit, so now we don't care.
But now here we are, a year later.
Fun fact, when we did the SpongeBob episode for season two of Rabbit Ears, she referred to me as her good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we are just good friends.
You've continued to be good friends.
Yep. Yes, we just remain good friends who also engage in sexual intercourse.
There it is. There it is. Wow.
How red can she get?
Four Timers Club, indeed. Okay. So, look.
Gerald's here to save it, everybody.
Top five cinematic romances. Let's talk about the list, guys, the top five, before we dive in and start giving our picks. What did you think, Ashley? What about you? What did you think when you came up with your list here? Was this easy? Did you have to kind of refresh your memory? Did you get on Google? Or did they come to you right away?
So I found out that I don't actually like romance movies when coming up with this list. So I have a hard time believing any on-screen romance, or I don't know. It just, they all strike me as either bullshit or annoyingly like saccharine. So my list is a little bit weird.
That's cool. It's funny that you say that. Mine's a little morbid. Mine are I like a tragic love story. I noticed when I was compiling my list.
Too.
Danny boy, what about you, man? Was this an easier one for you? Cause you know, you do the Netflix thing, obviously, but you're,
he also picked this topic too. Like, let's throw that out there.
Oh yeah, I did pitch you guys a few different ones, and this is the one that Dan jumped all over. Why did you do that, Dan? Why did this one speak to you?
I'm not facing Ashley in anything TV related ever. That's not happening.
That's true.
I don't remember what the other one was. It was like top five romantic songs.
Makeout songs.
So basically, it'd just be like nothing but like Boys to Men's greatest hits. So like, that's not interesting. So, movies it was, and I have an eclectic list here, which features, how many happy endings?
Wait a minute.
One.
Happy endings as in happy endings, or?
Yeah, what, the happy endings I get.
Okay, I got you.
Ashley's still hit. By the way, everybody, you missed it, but Ashley was trying to recollect herself for about 30 seconds while Harold's introing, and she's like fanning herself.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a blindside comment there, Dan. I respected it, though.
She's welcome.
I respected it. All right, so you guys want to get started? Top five cinematic romances. You feeling good about it?
Ashley, no, my list is terrible, but I fully
I
own it.
Do you think we'll have any crossover, the three of us?
Absolutely not.
Yes.
I think we will, actually.
I won't. Actually, between the two of you, yes. Nobody's going to have anything that's on my list.
Jeremy, you and I definitely will.
Interesting.
Ashley, we might with one or two.
All right, Ashley, you want to go first? You're the lady on the panel. You cool with that?
I'm fine with that.
What's your number five, hon?
My number five is starring one of Dan's favorite actresses, Amy Schumer, and it's Amy and Aaron from Trainwreck. And I just want to see what his face is, because that's the only reason why I'm doing my list the way that I am.
Oh no, Amy Schumer sucks, but she isn't insufferable like Ellen Page. And that's who I thought you were going to say, and you were going to go with Juno, and I was going to say...
Well, she's only on five, so... We don't know where she's going.
Ellen Page. All of Ellen Page's movie roles in number one.
Remind me who the guy was.
It's Bill Hader.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, that's right, yeah.
And actually, in all honesty, I really actually did enjoy that movie. I thought it was pretty cute.
I did too. You know what I loved about it, which Dan will appreciate, was John Cena. Hilarious in that movie.
I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I only saw that from the trailer, and I didn't care to really see much else.
I mean, he's hilarious in it. I just think he has such a good comedic gene when he's on SNL and stuff. He just cracks me up.
What people don't remember is before John Cena became the PG king of WWE, he would battle rap people. Except there weren't really much raps. They were just like disses. And basically, more often than not, what John Cena would do was pull a package of planters out of his pocket, and he would just throw them at him. He would say, "Choke on these nuts."
Gonna put the rim shot in there. All right, so Trainwreck. Ashley's number five. I didn't expect that. I was expecting some vintage picks from you, Ashley, but I know it's early in the countdown, so we'll see what you do there.
This isn't Gidget.
That's true.
That's true. All right, Dan, you want me to go or you want to go? You want to be the finale or you want me to go?
I'll be the finale. My list is so fucking out there, man.
Mine is too. So my number five is a brand new movie. It's definitely the newest movie on my list. It's from 2018. Dan, I know you've heard me talk about this because we just covered it on our most recent episode, but this movie wrecked me this past year. I still cry when I think about it. I listen to the soundtrack in my car incessantly. Jack and Ally from A Star is Born, portrayed by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
I don't sing my own songs.
Thank you. Why?
I just don't feel comfortable.
Why wouldn't you feel comfortable?
Well, because like almost every single person that I've come in contact with in the music industry has told me that my nose is too big and that I won't make it.
Your nose is too big?
Yeah.
Your nose is beautiful. Are you showing me your nose right now?
Yeah.
You don't have to show it to me. I've been looking at it all night.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'm going to be thinking about your nose for a very long time.
You're full of shit.
I'm not full of shit.
Yeah,
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, you're full of shit.
Can I touch your nose?
Oh, my gosh.
Let me just touch it for a second.
Oh, I feel like I'm dying.
Dan, did you see this yet?
No.
Okay.
I see. Look, I prided myself in not having to. I haven't paid to see a movie since Mission Impossible came out in,
that's
in
fair.
Theaters.
That's fair.
I've seen two movies since then in theaters, and I don't pirate, so no one think that. But yeah, I don't go to the movie theaters all that often.
Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers because this is obviously a big hit. It's going
to
get
a
lot
of.
I
know what happens. I listen to so many movie podcasts.
I mean,
they've talked.
It's about a remake.
True. It's a remake, but it's
they
a
changed oh, enough. Yeah.
The ending is not is very, very dark in this installment. So I don't want to spoil it for any of the listeners or for Ashley, but it's a very tragic love story. Like I said, all mine on my list are very kind of dark and not happy ending, except for one of them. And the rest of them are pretty grim and melancholy at the end of the day. But love is torture. You know what I mean? And this story in The Star is Born is a rags to riches story. And there's a genuine love there between these two people. And I can't say what I want to say because I don't want to give away the ending. But it literally drives one person to their fate. And it's because
so
of the love
dies.
That he... it's the love that he... You said it, not me. It's the love he feels for this woman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're on. You know what I'm saying.
I mean, real talk, all you had to say was, it gets really dark. And I'm like, oh, okay. I know who dies then.
Dead.
So Jack and Allie from A Star is Born, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga. That one will be out, by the way, guys, on video next month. So please check it out. It's one of the best movies of last year, for sure.
Unless it's on Hulu, Amazon, or Netflix, I don't give a fuck.
All right, Dan, you wanted to be the finale, man. You're up first with your number five. What do you got?
All right, so of course we're talking about cinematic romances. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more pure, more pure than romance, but there is one thing. It's a bromance. So of course, Ashley just got real upset because she knows what I'm going for here.
Yes.
She hates this movie. I'm going with Peter and Sydney from I Love You, Man.
Oh, okay. All right.
She fucking hates this movie. This movie's great. So if you don't know, this movie stars Paul Rudd, Rashida Jones, and Jason Segel.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Paul Rudd's character doesn't have any male friends, so he needs like a best man because he has like nobody for his
right
for his like groom's part or the groom party or whatever. So he runs into this guy Sydney who fucking flings dog poop into the ocean because he's an idiot. But they come to just hang out, and like, I mean, quite honestly, there's nothing more pure than hanging out with your Brosef Stalin. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear there.
Yeah,
like this movie is, man, I told Caleb after I watched it, like, this is us. This is exactly how we are. So
that's awesome, man. I haven't seen that movie in a few years, but I did like it. It's, you don't like that one, Ashley?
No, fucking sucks.
You're not a
you
fan of it.
You fucking suck.
Paul Rudd, man. Love him.
I like Paul Rudd. I just don't like this movie.
You just weren't into it?
No.
Well, that's okay. Hey, Dan.
It's maybe because I don't have a penis.
I love you, man.
It's probably, I love you, man. It's, yeah. It's definitely because you don't have a penis.
I'm fine with that, and I'm sure you are too.
All around, I am as well.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Ashley, you're up next, right? What's your number four?
My number four is a movie that pretty much sucks ass and has terrible acting, but it does have Krull the Warrior King in it, and it's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay.
This
McConaughey
movie,
and
yeah, and
Kate Hudson, right?
Kate Hudson, yeah. I only picked this because Dan said he didn't like it, and I don't like romance movies, so there you go.
I see what you guys are trying to do. You're just trying to piss each other off with each other's list?
Maybe. I don't think that's his intention for his whole list. That's my intention for my whole list.
Wow. Well, at least we know up front.
Yeah.
You ever...
No, this movie sucks. This movie is bad.
It is, but you know, I've welcomed the fact that I kind of see the good in everything, and this movie...
No, there's no good in this
it's
movie.
Fine.
It's
fine. This movie's
McConaughey,
totally fine.
Man.
This movie is completely inoffensive. It doesn't do anything amazing, but it does everything generic
isn't
in a funny way.
Isn't Woody Harrelson in this, or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, no, he plays the gay guy in it, I believe.
Yeah.
Or wait, or is that... No, maybe that's the Justin Timberlake Mila Kunis
oh,
one.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking
that's
of.
That's a good one, actually.
That's a good
I really
one, too.
Enjoy that one.
That's a good one, too, yeah.
That one's Friends with Benefits.
That's right. That's the one I'm thinking of. Well, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Terrible. Terrible movie.
It is.
I'm not saying
it 90s or is it early 2000s?
I want to say that was in the 2000s. It was probably 10, 12 years ago.
It's just generic AF. Like, it is.
I mean, it's a rom-com.
They're not even a good couple. They're like.
Yeah, but they're pretty together.
Sure. Fine. If that's how you want to base everything, let me pick the two most attractive pieces of wood and tie them together, and they can be a great couple. But, like, She is horrible. He puts up with everything. He takes happy wife, happy life, which I find to be the dumbest thing anyone has ever said ever.
Dan, I don't remember this movie. How do you remember this so vividly? Especially
I watched it 3 months ago.
I haven't seen this in forever.
Yeah. But like she's just insane, and like she's acting insane to like make him break up with her, and he won't do it because happy wife, happy life, which once again, dumbest fucking phrase ever. If you're not happy, why should she be happy? Like, I don't understand that. Like, I get it. Your wife is happy.
If
that,
you're
like,
miserable, make her suffer along with you.
If your line of thinking it differs from how your wife wants you to behave, and like it doesn't hurt her in any way, I'm explaining this badly, but the phrase happy wife, happy life is stupid.
I get it. You're not a fan of it.
No.
I got it. Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, Dan, I love you, man.
I love you, man.
All right. My number four is a tearjerker, guys. It's one of the greatest opening scenes in all of cinema, in my opinion. Definitely an animation, but it's Carl and Ellie from Up. This is the old couple from Disney Pixar's Up.
So, somehow, this movie portrays a great love and romance story in 5 minutes.
That's right. And then the entire narrative of the film is driven by Carl's love for his deceased wife and wants to kind of honor her memory and take her home to Paradise Falls, which is what she wanted throughout her whole life. She sacrificed for him throughout her whole life and never got an opportunity to do that. When he's on his own and she's passed on, he says, you know what, I'm going to make this happen. And of course, it turns into a fantastic adventure with a lot of great characters. And it's just, I mean, it's one of Disney Pixar's best. It would probably be in my top 10 films from the Disney catalog. But it's a tearjerker, and you're right, that 5 minute kind of scene and monologue that they have there is really beautiful, and it's one of the greatest in cinema. So Carl and Ellie, I had to go. I saw it pop up on a couple lists, and I'm like, well, I have to name it because it gets me every time. So that's my number four. What do you guys think? Ashley, what do you think about that one?
I only saw Up one time, but I did tear up at that scene. It was like the window reflection thing. Is that right?
Yes, that's part of it. Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's all I remember.
It's a montage. It's a montage of their... Well, the movie starts with them as children. The two of them meet when they're probably, I don't know, 8 years old or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And then after that initial meeting, you literally see a montage of their whole life together, growing up, getting married, buying a house together, you know, so on and so forth. And it's just played over music, and it takes about 5 minutes to get through. And then you see that she passes probably from cancer or something like that. And he's left by himself. So in his old age. So like I said, it is a dark, melancholy, kind of tragic love story, but you do get to see the flashes of a long life that they had together, which is, I mean, that's what love's all about, you know, getting to spend it with somebody for a long, long, long time. You guys got that to look forward to?
No, I don't.
No, he's breaking up with me after he hears my list.
All right. Well, with that being said, I will let him give you his next pick. Dan, what's your number four, man?
I just want to say that I don't think I've ever cried at a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
I think so real talk, the closest I ever got was, and Gerald, feel free to cut this out. I don't really give a shit what you do. It's your episode, man.
Fair enough.
But the closest I got was at the end of Fast 7. Mm-hmm. When, no, I'm serious. I'm actually serious.
I know, because I've watched this last 5 minutes of this movie with you. That's why I'm laughing.
It's the Paul Walker tribute montage with the Charlie Puth song.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's actually really sad. You're like, oh, shit, this guy's dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest I've ever come.
I mean, that was tough, man. When we lost him, that was tough. And I do remember that.
My number four, I'm honest to God just spitballing here. I'm looking at things on my list and figuring out where they go. I'm pseudo waning right now. All right, so this is the best thing about a certain comic book franchise that was rebooted just once and has now been rebooted again.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Spider-Man, those are not good movies. Those are mediocre to bad movies. But the best, and easily, by far, the best part about those movies, Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker.
Okay.
They are, you can feel that romance all the time. They love each other so much.
So you're siding with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone's portrayal?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Why? Because Kirsten Dunst during Spider-Man 2 and 3 is kind of phoning it in.
I love her, man. And my wife looks like her.
You can all you want. You can pretend you're fucking Kirsten Dunst all you want when you're banging your wife. That's fine.
Sure. But well, sure.
That's getting cut and saved in the archives.
No, that'll be the intro to the show. That'll be the intro.
I love you, Gerald.
I love you, man.
No, but like their chemistry, and of course I'm kind of cheating because like they got two movies to really like expand upon it. But like obviously their chemistry was so much that they began dating, and they were a couple for several years during this whole span. So like, I mean, you could tell the chemistry they have on film. You can see it just oozing everywhere, and it's the best part about those movies, despite the massive amount of flaws the movies have.
Gotcha. So you like Emma Stone over Bryce Dallas Howard's portrayal of Gwen Stacy, I'm assuming.
Bryce Dallas Howard didn't do anything.
I thought she was Gwen Stacy.
She wore a blonde wig.
She
was it.
Well, right. Yeah.
She wore a blonde wig and just happened to exist.
Yeah, I was going to say she just kind of stood there. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not a giant Emma Stone fan, truth be told. And those are the bottom of the list as far as Spider-Man movies go. I love Andrew Garfield.
I think he's an amazing actor. I really like the first one.
It's not horrible. This is, you know, middle of the road.
It's a 6. The first one is a 6. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is a 2.
Yeah, the second one was kind of shitty.
Because let's cram 2 villains in, everybody. We didn't learn from Spider-Man 3.
Like I said, I find the good in everything, so I watch them and I was entertained.
Wrong.
But I'm surprised that you... I didn't see you going there, Danny Boy, I got to be honest. The whole cinematic world, and you went Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, they're a great couple. even if she gets her neck snapped by Henry Cavill in Man of Steel.
It all comes back around to Nick somehow. All right, where are we at? I'm fucking lost here. Ashley, you're next, right?
I have derailed this whole
I have
fucking
no
thing.
Idea where we are. Are we on your number 3, Ashley?
We are on Ashley's number 3.
You should have done Trainwreck now, because that's what I feel like. All right, what was your number 3, Ash?
All right, well, my number 3 is the best cinematic example of how to make getting pregnant make a relationship work. And that is Ellen Page and Juno.
You called it.
You just put that on the list now.
Yeah.
Didn't you? I know you just did.
No. I swear to God. Look. It's already on here.
Well.
Oh, wait. I just showed you my list. Well, it's already on there.
I couldn't read that anyway. It's fine.
It wasn't on the screen.
It was already on there. I swear. So, yeah, no. So
Juno.
Actually, I think Juno is a very funny movie. I like, what's his name? J.K. Simmons is my favorite part of it.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
J.K. Ellen Simmons Page is the best is part there. In every movie he's in.
That's correct. But yeah, this movie's caught me off guard when I first watched it. Michael Cera is pretty fucking funny. Ellen Page is there. It's fine.
Yeah, you just take Soupy Sales to prom. I can think of so many cooler things to do that night. Like, you know what, Blake? I might pumice my feet, might go to Branstown Unitarian Church, maybe get hit by a truck full of hot garbage juice, you know? Because all those things would be exponentially cooler than going to prom with you.
You're being really immature. You have no reason to be mad at me. I mean, you know, you broke my heart. I should be royally ticked off at you. You know, I should be really cheesed off. I shouldn't want to talk to you anymore.
Because I got bored and had sex with you and I didn't want to, like, marry you?
Like I'd marry you, you'd be the meanest wife ever, okay? And I know that you weren't bored that day because there was a lot of stuff on TV and then the Blair Witch Project was coming on Stars. And you were like, I haven't seen this since it came out, and so we should watch it. But we should just make out instead. La la la.
Michael Cera's a gem. I love him. I love anything he's in. He just cracks me up. Obviously from Arrested Development. We've talked about that before.
Arrested Development season 5.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Like that doesn't work. Yeah. That doesn't follow the. Yeah. No.
I just love him though. I love his face.
J.K. Simmons. I love everything he's in. He's even the best part of Spider-Man 2, which is not a great movie in my opinion.
Wow. I guess
take it from somebody who actually has a brainstem. Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man.
I was going to say I won't get into that. We just had our superhero debate, and one of my guests said that, Ashley, and he named Homecoming, and then you know he wanted to kind of.
I wanted to leap through my iPhone,
refute
and,
my Spider-Man
and just
2
ring
pick.
His neck because like Homecoming's great and all,
yeah,
but
yeah,
no,
yeah. All right, well, look, this is where I think we're going to have crossover. I was expecting it, but now you guys are just kind of trying to piss each other off, so I'm not sure. But
I'm not trying to piss her off.
My number 3 is a movie that I know both of you love. Well, I know Ashley loves it. I'm pretty sure you love it, Dan, which is saying a lot because you don't love a whole lot of movies.
That's not true.
Dan likes more than I like.
Actually. Well, I mean, with romance in them, I guess I should say.
Dan likes more than I like.
So I'm going to go with Joel and Clementine from Eternal Sunshine. of the Spotless
that is,
Mind.
That is on my list. Where it is on my list, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's on my list.
Well, that's my number three. Again, tragic. It has a little bit of a Black Mirror feel, actually, Dan. We were talking about that earlier.
Kinda.
But yeah, you know, it's a sci-fi love story. And, you know, he's just trying to not forget the love of his life. And if you guys have seen this, you know what I'm talking about. But it's heavy, man. You know, it really weighs on you and pulls at your heartstrings throughout the whole movie. It's very beautiful to look at. Shot very beautifully. I just love this movie. And, you know, we just named it when we did our winter movies. But it really, really is a cinematic romance. So it really belongs on this list, I feel like. And Kate Winslet is awesome. I love her. She's just a beautiful actress. I love her. And Jim Carrey has always been one of my favorites. I mentioned when we did that winter episode, but it's just shocking to me that he hasn't been nominated for any high caliber awards in his career for some of the work he's done on The Truman Show and Man on the Moon and even Eternal Sunshine. I just think he's an amazing actor. He's very versatile. So I love Eternal Sunshine.
I'm very upset he didn't get nominated for either Ace Ventura movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, costume design for sure.
That hair. I gotta show you the time I went as Ace Ventura for Halloween.
I did that too, Dan.
I might even
spot
have it on my phone.
Fucking on.
I did that too. I went as Ace Ventura 1 year. I think I might have pics as well.
But to kind of echo everything you said, like this is a great couple. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, impulsively, they get in a big fight and, you know, then she elects to forget him and he elects to forget her. But then as he's revisiting all through the memories, he's like, oh, shit, I shan't have done this. And yet
right.
I have.
Right.
And I think the most poignant scene of all is at the end when they're after Kirsten Dunst, ironically enough, hands out all the forms saying like, hey, this is who you forgot. Like, here are tapes of why you want to forget this person. And after they both hear like each other say the most vile shit about them, you know, they're standing in that hallway and he says, and I forget exactly what Kate Winslet says, but like, hey, what if this doesn't last? And he says, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. You know, it's pure, you know, they just want to be together no matter how long it lasts.
Right. And it's a lot of beautiful imagery in that movie, too. I mean, I know we're talking about the romance between the two of them, but it's shot like a dream, you know, and a lot of the movie is like you're looking inside of someone's dream. And it's really, really cool movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the last 20 years. So I had to put it on here. I feel like it's an awesome big screen romance. Clementine and Joel from Eternal Sunshine. All right, Dan, you wanted to go last, so it's time for your number three. What do you got over there, man?
Interestingly enough, Ashley and I are watching through Sex Education, the new Netflix original show,
mm-hmm.
and someone performs a grand gesture, and I referenced this movie when they were doing their grand gesture, as I feel. The grand gesture is that this guy starts singing a song to a girl. And to me, there's only one song you sing to a girl. I love you, baby! If you remember that fucking movie, you know what I'm talking about. It's 10 Things I Hate About You, and it is Patrick and Kat.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm the lonely night. I love you, baby, trust in me when I say. Oh, pretty baby, don't bring me down, I pray. Oh, pretty baby, now that I found you, stay.
What starts out is a stupid fucking plot like, hey, I can't fuck this girl. Can you go date her sister so I can go fuck her? Yeah, sure, brah, I got you. Yeah, so it turns out, it starts out as like a con, but then, you know, as is the typical 90s, early 2000s thing, it was like, oh, it turns out we actually fell in love for real and we're like really in love. Oh, shit. But the con has been revealed. Do we actually still love each other? Of course you do. It's a fucking romance movie. Who cares? It's a great movie. Heath Ledger's great. I mean, he goes from this to The Dark Knight in 10 years. And
right.
Think about that for a second.
Right.
Real bubbly, still kind of dark and mysterious. Maybe he's starting to descend into Joker territory at the at the end or whatever. But yeah,
it's a good one, man. It's a good one.
Julia, is that Julia Stiles?
Yeah, Julia Stiles.
Yeah. At her most relevant, because really,
yeah,
what has she been
so.
In since?
Yeah, I would say so.
Bournes.
I would say so. Yeah, that's a good one, man. It's another one I haven't seen in several years. Ashley, you a fan of 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's fun.
Doesn't this one follow a Shakespeare narrative?
What is it? Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew, that's right.
You're so smart, Bubby.
I'm so smart.
I haven't seen that in forever, but that's a good one, man. I love Heath Ledger. Good pick. 10 Things I Hate About You at number 3. All right, guys. And then Ashley, you're up next for your number 2. What did you decide on for your runner-up cinematic romance?
All right. Well, you guys talking about Eternal Sunshine kind of made me want to switch to a more serious note, but I've decided I'm just going to continue making a mockery of this list in the show. So my number 2 is going to be Harley and Joker from Suicide Squad. Because as awful as that movie is, and as awful as Jared Leto is with the character, and as much as Dan hates Harley Quinn, all of that kind of works to my advantage, and it's a romance, I guess.
Now, can I ask real quick?
Sure.
Dan, do you hate Harley Quinn as a character or Margot Robbie's portrayal specifically?
Harley Quinn as a character.
You're fucking kidding me, really?
Yeah, no, she's awful. Because, like...
All right.
So, basically what I've learned... is that basic comic book girls really like Harley Quinn for no reason. Like, really, she sets up these, like, really terrible values to instill, like, it's cool to just keep being in an abusive relationship, everybody. That's just fine.
Well, that's
like,
true.
That's a big fucking problem. Okay, Arlene Sorkin, fine. Margot Robbie does a good impression of Arlene Sorkin.
Sure.
Okay. Like, she portrays the character well, but that character at its core has a big issue. I'm glad what they're doing with it in the comic. I haven't read the comics, but I know what they're doing. They've kind of made her strike out on her own and become, like, an actual character, as opposed to being, like, a Joker henchwoman. Shit. That's better, and that's definitely what they should have gone for, as opposed to, you know, let's start off in an abusive relationship because it seems fine.
Let me follow this psychopath around. Right.
Exactly.
So what drew you to this connection between Harley and Joker in that movie specifically, or was it more just the folklore surrounding those two characters?
I mean, growing up, I really enjoyed all of the female characters on Batman the Animated Series, and I've been realizing how bad the abusiveness is in their relationship. It's really not okay, but I know that Dan hates it, and that's kind of what I'm going for on my list. So it's nothing that I'm actually drawn to. It's more what he's repulsed by.
I got you.
And also, it is the worst Joker ever.
It is the worst Joker ever. It's fucking bad. Leto is so bad.
It's horrible, so bad. It's like,
I don't want to say Leto's bad.
Everything about it's bad.
That's a compliment.
His character direction is particularly bad. I don't know if Leto got a bad script or what. I mean, it's David Ayer, so he got a bad script.
I'll just come out and tell you. I mean, Jared Leto's a great actor. I mean, let's make no bones about it. I mean, he's an amazing actor. He's an Oscar winner. But that Joker...
You can't just say Oscar winner because Suicide Squad won an Oscar.
No. Oscar nominee.
That doesn't really rate as credentials for me.
Well,
but here's the thing.
He was an Oscar nominee for Dallas Buyers Club is what I was referring to. But I'm just saying that he's great at his craft, but that Joker was a fucking shit show. I mean, I don't know what he was doing with that or what he thought he was doing with that.
Ashley's big problem is that, like, it won for costuming. And, like, yeah, it's a shitty movie and we all hate it, but, like, it had some great costuming, so it definitely deserves to at least be nominated.
I mean, that's fair.
So, like, if that's how you're going to devalue an Oscar, it's a secondary category.
It's not it's fine.
Versus Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress. Those are the main six.
So you're saying that if somebody's won a Best Supporting Actor nominee or whatever, that it's a good movie?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said they're probably a good actor.
Okay. The performance would stand alone for me. Did you ever see Dallas Buyers Club, Ashley?
Yep. Yeah. I'm setting myself up for in another round. That's all.
Oh, I gotcha. You're getting a little preface going. Okay, I understand. All right, so Suicide Squad. Hey, you guys are, I tell you what, there's no lack of surprises on this episode. So Harley and Joker was Ashley's number 2. All right, so my number 2, I actually made a list, guys. You guys are trying to...
I made a list, too.
I thought you guys loved
me.
I made a list.
But,
you
know,
I have a note here that has all my people, has all my couples on it. It's fine.
So this was the best movie of 2017. It didn't win. It should have. The star of this movie was nominated as well for Best Actor. Didn't win. He should have. This was an amazing film that affected me on so many levels. Very beautiful film. The relationship and the romance that I'm naming is between Elio and Oliver, and the film is Call Me By Your Name. came out in 2017. This is did either of you see this, by the way? Because nope. Dan, I know you hadn't the last time we spoke about it.
Nope, because I'm not cool with pedophilia.
That's right. That's what we talked about. I remember that now. So, well, I'm not either, I should say. You shouldn't have said that the way you said it, because now it sounds like I'm defending that. This was another tragic, dark love story, and it takes place in the 80s in Italy, on location in Italy. And as you both know, and all of our listeners know, I'm an 80s freak, fanatic.
You? Never.
So there's a lot of psychedelic furs and talking heads. I mean, there's a lot of great 80s music in the movie. It's all 80s kind of costumes and design. So it was an awesome period piece, and it was on location in Italy. But this is just a romance that builds over time, starts as a friendship. You know, Dan is right. Elio in the movie is just a graduate from high school, and it's his first summer after graduating from high school, and he meets Oliver in Italy. Oliver's there doing an internship for Elio's father. He's like a museum curator, and he's doing an internship with him. And that's how the two guys meet. I want to say Oliver's maybe about 10 years older than Elio. I don't know for sure.
I actually just saw something with this.
Yeah.
The kid is 16, and he's there you go. Like 24, so it's like 8 years. But like Armie Hammer's like in his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothée Chalamet looks like he's 16. So it looks even... if you look at it, it looks even worse.
The thing that... And I don't want to get myself in trouble here. The thing that I love about the narrative in Call Me By Your Name is, and this was a book, this was based on a book, so, you know, if you read it or if you saw the movie, I imagine you would kind of think about it the same way, at least from my perspective. But, like, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, guys, help me out here.
I know.
I just want to say, like, for me, what was really cool about this love story, if you invested in the characters, that is, and Dan, I know you haven't seen it, but if you watched it and you didn't know all the hype kind of surrounding it, and you invested in the two characters and in their situations, their age was not a part of who they were. Does that make sense? Like, it was just about the two individuals and the connection they had, as opposed to getting technical. So, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just was more drawn to the connection that they kind of garnered over time. I mean, it was really a friendship. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a friendship. Of course, it became romantic, but what affected me by this movie more than anything else was not necessarily the relationship, was but the end of the relationship. Because at the end of this movie, and I'm sorry for spoilers, but...
It's fine. I'm never going to watch this movie.
At the end of this movie, you know, they leave each other, and Elio gets on the train to go back to America. Or I'm sorry, Oliver does. And you know, as the viewer, what they know at the time is that that's the last time they're going to see each other. And to see the relationship that they had shared over that 2-hour period, which of course spanned, you know, many weeks in the movie, but as you were viewing it for 2 hours, and then to see them have to leave each other and the emotions involved in that, and you're witnessing it going, I mean, just imagine that. I mean, just imagine if you're seeing, and this is in the 80s too, so you don't have social media, you don't have FaceTime, you don't have any of that shit, and you're seeing that person and you're so in love with that person, and you know when you walk away and when that train pulls out of the station, you're never going to see that person again. I mean, just imagine the impact that would have emotionally on you. And the movie did a great job at relaying that, I thought. And, you know, Dan wants to break my balls about the pedophilia thing, but Timothée Chalamet was a goddamn, I mean, literally a star falling from heaven in this movie. One of the best performances I've seen in 20 years. I mean, they gave it to Gary Oldman last year because he's got a body of work and he hasn't won an Academy Award. Not to take anything away from Gary Oldman, but Timothée Chalamet was amazing.
We've come to determine the Academy is just stupid.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I'm with you. So anyway, Dan, you can. I know. I want you to watch it, though. I want you to watch it.
As soon as I found out their ages in the movie, I just went, oh boy. Mm-hmm. And I specifically remember commenting on that on Epic Film Guys and being like, oh boy, are we sure that this is a movie we want to be praising? Especially in an era where we just came from, like, Kevin Spacey just happened a month and a half ago. Are you guys sure we want to talk about this?
Right. And that's what's interesting about it. That's why I'm saying if you watch it, I would love to hear your thoughts on the portrayal in the film, because that's what's interesting is that I don't know. I guess if you don't think about that age thing when you sit down to watch the movie, you won't think about it, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
And I can't. I know too much about that movie to even separate at this point.
I feel you. Hey, I want you to watch it, but I understand at the same time. Yeah, so.
It would ruin the whole movie watching experience for me. Like, I would need Neuralized in order for me to even be able to watch this and try to enjoy it.
It's all good, brother. That's my number two, though, guys, so... I don't know. Maybe I'll get some heat for that. But Elio and Oliver from Call Me By Your Name. Dan, what's your runner-up, man?
Joel and Clementine.
Hey, there it is. Why do you love
it, man? I've decided to go with a specific movie for my number one.
Well, obviously, I agree with it. Hey, Ashley, didn't you post on Twitter or Facebook recently that you were watching this? Was that the first time you'd seen it?
No, I've seen it a million times. Okay. We were watching it again.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
Because he didn't have it rated on his letterbox, so I thought he hadn't seen it.
Oh, no.
But he had, so that's why I suggested that he and I watch it.
So good, right? So good.
It's so good.
I mean, I should delist a lot of reviews or ratings for a lot of stuff I like on my letterbox. That way she's like, oh, he's never seen this before.
If you guys were doing a top 10 since the year 2000, you think this is on there?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
It's got a strong chance of being in my top 10.
What's actually interesting is that I think every single no, that's not true. Because we did a top 10 movies for Netflix and Swill,
mm-hmm.
and I on that list, I think I'm gonna say at least 8 of them are from 2000 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
No, this
so
not
probably be, not then, right? Not. Yeah. Well, there you go. Eternal Sunshine. So, Danny Boy, we had a little crossover there. I would bet my house that you and Ashley aren't going to have crossover based on what she's doing over there. So,
my thought was the crossover would happen when I talked about Patrick and Kat. That was it. Because I knew she wasn't going to put Joel and Clementine on. I knew she wasn't going to.
I got you. Okay. All right. Well, Ashley, you ready? You're the first one to give us your number one. Well, I'm assuming this is your number one cinematic romance, or is this just your number one to piss off Dan?
My number one to piss off Dan, because I don't believe in cinematic romances.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
That's not true. I have two or three, but not enough to fill out a top five, so I decided to go with five things that would irritate Dan. However, this number one is a movie that I enjoy.
You know what? Ashley, you should have done that, because I could have had you back without Dan, and we could have done a top five to annoy Dan, and I could have come up with five things that I think would annoy him.
All you have to do is breathe wrong, he's annoyed.
And we could send it to him, you know?
No, I just want to know. I know. I want to know what you guys think would annoy me.
Everything that annoys you. Breathing wrong, talking back,
narration. Any movie with narration in it, I would put on there.
Goodfellas, my number one
movie.
That's
right, absolutely.
Dan hates it because he talks too much.
That's right.
Pedophilia is annoying to you.
You don't like when younger men date older men. You've mentioned that
weird.
To me.
All of a sudden, we're ready to let movies happen with pedophilia, but Kevin Spacey's all bad.
I hear you, bro. That's what I'm trying to tell you about Call Me By Your Name, is that I didn't look at it as an age thing when I went into it.
Yeah, neither did Kevin Spacey.
Exactly.
When I went into it, you know what I mean? I saw what I saw on screen. Because in the movie, they don't mention their age. I didn't read the book.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a bold choice, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Did you already give us your number one, Ashley?
No.
I can't remember if you did. Oh, okay. What's your number one? Go ahead.
My number one is a movie that I recently introduced Dan to that he fucking hates.
This piece of shit.
He's never seen A Fish Called Wanda, and I actually really enjoyed the relationship between, what the fuck's her name, Wanda and Archie. So it's John Cleese and Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. The whole time she's conning every fucking guy and doing a horrible job overacting with it, but she actually falls in love with him and like wants to do right by him by the end, even though she's been a complete piece of shit the entire time. I really like John Cleese in this movie. Kevin Kline did a great job being a complete asshole, but this movie is actually one that I enjoy and pisses Dan off, so it's perfect for number one.
Fits the mold. I feel like this is an Oscar winner.
It was, matter of fact.
Yeah, I feel like it did. Yeah.
Why did you hate it, Dan? Everything about it is bad. Everything. Every single thing about this is bad. It's not funny.
So you walked away with nothing from it.
Engaging.
Okay.
I got to find my Twitter rant. Because I actually ranted about this on Twitter. The basic gist was how this was ever nominated for any Oscar is beyond belief for me. The only award this should have been nominated for is every fucking Razzie imaginable.
It got nominated for a few Oscars.
It did.
Yeah, I said three.
I'm just saying it did. Yeah.
And Kevin Kline won. Fine.
Correct.
But like,
Kevin Kline was good.
I was so annoyed by this movie. Just nothing, like, I never got that she wanted to do right by fucking John Cleese.
You
ever.
Weren't supposed to till the end, when she did.
But that doesn't, at no point, that doesn't feel earned. That just, it just seems to happen.
But like, it's 1988, Dan.
Right.
I was gonna ask if you had the year on it.
That's not an excuse for this being a garbage can of a fucking dumpster fire movie.
88. I was gonna ask if you had the year on it.
Fucking garbage.
80s.
Fucking terrible.
All right, Dan, relax.
It's 80s and it's Monty Python crew. Like, it's gonna be some.
It
like,
should have been good.
Schlocky.
You were disappointed.
It should have been good. It has John Cleese and it has the other guy.
You were disappointed.
From Monty Python. Yeah. It should have been good, but whoever fucking did anything with this movie did the worst possible job. Mm. It's garbage.
Rant.
Agree to disagree.
Dan is on. All right, well, A Fish Called Wanda is your number one. Wow. I got to tell you, Ashley, I know you were trying to dig into Dan a little bit there, but I would not have guessed any of your picks.
I didn't realize how much I don't like romance movies until I had to try to put this list together. So
right.
I've got two movies on honorable mentions that are actual romance movies, and that's...
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, let me give you my number one, and then we'll let Dan wrap us up. So my number one is an all-time. It is an all-time romance. It is... an all-time movie. We were just talking about top 10s, and this made my top 10 of all time when I sent it to Paul and Wayne for their 200th episode. I had to brainstorm to come up with that top 10 list, and this was on there. I want to say it was 6 or 7 on my list, but The Princess Bride, Wesley and Buttercup is my number one cinematic romance. This is a... Obviously, both of you have seen this, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Danny, Princess Bride?
Never heard of it.
You've seen it, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fucking making sure.
I saw this in high school.
Okay. Well, Cary Elwes and Robin Wright, and just it's a fantasy, right? And Princess Buttercup and Wesley having to fight the rodents of unusual size, and it's just all the adventure, all the fantasy, and it's all for the love that Wesley has for Buttercup. He's trying to get back to her. He's trying to rescue her. He wants to spend the rest of his life with her. It truly is one of those stories that starts with Once Upon a Time and ends with Happily Ever After and everything in between. And you have Andre the Giant in there. You have Wallace Shawn doing one of the greatest character pieces of character acting of all time. So one of my favorite movies ever. Like I said, it's in my top 10 of all time. And there was no way that I could go past a cinematic romance and not put Wesley and Buttercup on it.
Can you move at all?
Move? You're alive. If you want, I can fly.
I told you I would always come for you. Why didn't you wait for me?
Well, you were dead.
Death cannot stop true love. All it can do is delay it for a while.
I will never doubt again.
There will never be a need.
So there you go. That's my number. Are you guys surprised, or did you kind of see that coming?
I'm not surprised. I just don't buy that romance.
Nothing surprises me after Ashley's list. Not a single fucking.
You don't buy the Wesley and Buttercup?
I don't. But no, I don't. I love the movie and I enjoy the movie, but that romance, there's no chemistry there for me. I don't buy it.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting.
That's how I felt about a lot of romance movies. I'm like, I don't believe that they give two fucks about each other.
I gotcha. So the portrayal didn't buy it.
Anything for me.
Okay.
Cary Elwes, this is not his best movie. His best movie is actually Saw.
I was going to say, are you going to say Saw? Being chained up in the bathroom was the best role he ever had.
Or Saw 3D, where he comes back at the end and turns out he was a Jigsaw disciple the entire time.
There you go.
I love that franchise. As soon as 3 ends, the movie just ascends into complete and utter madness.
Yeah. I agree. I love the first one, though. The first Saw, I did like it. I stand by that one. Dan, are you ready to give us your number one, man? Is it Saw?
Yeah, you nailed it. The love affair with Cary Elwes' stump
and the pipe,
the radiator pipe.
Yeah, what's your number one, Danny?
No, I was actually trying to troll, like actively troll for this, because The first thing I thought of with, like, top, like, on-screen romances was actually George Sr. and his ice cream sandwich. And I was like, can I find more things like George Sr. and his ice cream sandwich in movies?
I'm having a love affair with this ice cream sandwich.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, that's really funny. I should try to make a list like that. And unfortunately, I couldn't find anything like that because nothing was ever like the first three seasons of Arrested Development.
No.
I decided to play it straight. And that brings me to my number two movie of all time.
Oh, okay.
Wait, your number one? Oh, your number two movie of all time.
My number
Got
two
it.
Movie
oh,
of
I
all
know
time.
I know what this is then, yes. I expected don't. This fully to be on your list.
Oh, my. Gerald, you should know. This supplanted Spider-Man 2 as my number two of all time.
Really?
Yes. My number one of all time, everybody, spoiler alert, is Independence Day.
So well, you should actually, be doing the love affair with Jeff that. Goldblum and the alien.
Actually, it should be my love affair with Jeff Goldblum. That
so
is
can we just clarify, sir, are you naming Mary Jane and Peter Parker here?
No, I'm not.
No,
what are you
naming? I
just say it.
I am naming Seb and Mia from La La Land.
Oh, okay.
She was like, huh? Oh.
Okay.
No,
all right. I remember you. And I'll admit I was a little curt that night.
Curt?
Okay, I was an asshole. I can admit that.
Okay.
But requesting Iran from a serious musician is just, it's too far.
My lord, did you just say a serious musician?
I don't think so.
Can I borrow what you're wearing?
Why?
Because I have an audition next week. I'm playing a serious firefighter.
So you're an actress. I thought you looked familiar. Have I seen you in anything?
The coffee shop on the Warner Brothers lot. That's a classic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You're a barista. And I can see how you could then look down on me from all the way up there.
I'm done. Next set.
Listen, I don't. He doesn't tell me what to do.
He just told you what to do.
I know. I let him. What's your name?
Mia.
Mia. Guess I'll see you in the movies.
This is one of those romances that actually doesn't end well, as you can tell by a lot of my picks. All but one fucking winds up just fine. Gwen Stacy dies. Joel and Clementine, it's ambiguous, but they're probably going to break up again. This one, you know, they love each other a lot. And even though they break up, when they break up, it's not without love. Because the breakup scene specifically is whenever Seb comes home for a night to surprise Mia. And she's like, well, when are you going to settle down and do the club? Because that's what you want to do. You want to open your own club. It's like she wants him to follow his dreams. Like she loves him enough to let him follow his dreams and while she follows hers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, this is steady. This is good. This is what I have right now is good enough. Like this is the dream for everybody, but it's not your dream. You know, I want you to follow your dream. And he's upset by that because he feels like she's taking him for granted or that like, I don't actually really know what he's feeling. Like it doesn't make much sense there, but like, you know, what she's saying to him is I want you to follow your dream because I love you. And when he kind of throws away when he's willing to throw away his dream for her, well, he's in her head, she's thinking, oh, well, he's throwing away his love for me because I want him to do this out of my love. And if he won't do it out of my love, then maybe he doesn't really truly love me. And of course we get the ending of the movie where, it's a 5 years later kind of thing. They see each other in the club and we get this the Hollywood ending, as I call it. And that's where the whole movie kind of clicked for me was that quote unquote Hollywood ending. Cause you know, it's kind of a send up of the like 40s and 50s musical. So like we have a more modern tale in that, you know, they can be happy, but they don't have to be together. But in, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, we would have gotten this Hollywood ending where, you know, Seb eventually stops touring and they're happy together. And you know, Mia gets to live her life. But now the true happy ending is they can live both of their dreams, as opposed to one of them just living their dream and the other one, I don't know, being in love, but not being truly happy.
Ashley, are you following all this?
Yes, because I've heard him talk about it before.
I could talk about La La Land for hours.
Well, the only reason I say that, Dan, and I don't know if you know this, I've never seen it.
I love this movie.
Haven't seen this movie?
This movie's fine.
It's fine. Did you think... I think I know the answer to this, Dan, but did you think Emma Stone should have won the Academy Award for that?
No.
Okay. Whew. So I didn't know the answer to that. Okay, good. Thank
God. She absolutely... Who was she even up against?
Jackie. She was against Natalie Portman for Jackie, which was a fucking like...
I think she was also up against Amy Adams in Arrival, too.
Yeah, actually.
I didn't see Jackie, but I was like, Amy Adams for Arrival?
Yeah.
Like, Emma Stone didn't do anything groundbreaking in that movie. Like, she played a good character. I'm not going to say she was bad in the movie. Like,
she was cute. She sang, she danced, she did her thing, but there was nothing...
Yeah.
Nah.
I thought it was weird. Other than I haven't seen it yet.
Dancing, there was nothing special.
Yeah, I haven't seen
totally
it.
She was totally passable.
Yeah.
With the exception of clips, I haven't seen it. So I don't want to speak out of turn.
Her and Gosling just have incredible chemistry. Like, it's a wonder that Gosling hasn't cheated on Ava Mendez with Emma Stone, but then you remember it's Ava Mendez. So
actually,
there's
that,
no way that's happening.
I was going to say, yeah. Actually, that would have been a good one, too, from Crazy Stupid Love. That was a good...
I haven't seen that, actually. I want to.
Oh, it's
That's a good
cute.
Flick. It's a good flick.
It's cute.
All right, so I'll tell you what, guys. Let's do... I rounded out my top 10 for my honorable mentions, and then... Do you want me to go first since I actually made a list?
Go for it.
I actually made a list, so I'll give you guys the rest of my...
We made a list! I have a good list!
Okay, I'm sorry. So I'll give you my... I'll round out my top 10. So my number 6 would have been Jack and Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a personal pick, but sure. I feel like from... At least from an animated picture, that's up there. Jack and Rose from Titanic.
No.
Boo.
Absolutely.
No. She doesn't love him enough to fucking move over on the door.
That's what my wife said. Romance. Dan, that's what my wife said like 2 hours ago. We were talking about it. She was like,
Your wife is a smart lady.
She was like, you can't put that on your list. She didn't fucking make any room for him on the door. He's out there freezing his balls off.
She didn't even fucking try to scoot your ass over.
That movie made me feel though, man. That was. That was good. Let's see. Oh, this is just for Nick. Actually, this is for me, too, because this would have been in my top 10. But Nick Haskins, if you're listening to this, my number 8 is Johnny and Baby from Dirty Dancing.
You mean man. All right.
So no one puts Baby in the corner. Enough of that movie. No, because like what you've done is you've taken Jennifer Grey, a hunk of wood, and you've stuck her next to Patrick Swayze, a slightly more emotable hunk of wood.
Yeah.
And you've said, hi, be a couple.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
I love Dirty Dancing, man. I also thought about Nick when I saw that on the list. I'm like, oh, well, fuck, I got to put this on her. All right. And then my last couple would have been. Another gay couple. So, Dan, you can get on me about this if you'd like.
He's not on you about gay couples, by the way.
Well, that's true. That's true.
It's not about gay couples. Don't put that on him. Don't put that evil on him,
Gerald. I thought about Brokeback Mountain, actually.
Yeah.
But my problem with Brokeback and, coincidentally, A Fish Called Wanda, is that Jake Gyllenhaal's character in Brokeback Mountain is married to Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of love stories that have to happen around cheating. I feel like that makes the characters disingenuous. So to me, it doesn't connect on that kind of level for me. And that's why that was on my list. But like, that was among like my short list of things to be on there.
I've never
but
seen
I refuse
that.
To put it on there.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Ashley, you haven't seen it?
No, nope.
Pretty good. It's a pretty good movie.
Awesome.
It's got Randy Quaid in it. They had to shoot in Canada because Randy Quaid at that time was not allowed back in the U.S.
Yeah, it was awesome. Jack and Ennis from Brokeback Mountain. And then my number 10 would have been Clarence in Alabama from True Romance, a Tony Scott film written by Quentin Tarantino. Patricia Arquette and Christian Slater portray the couple in that movie. Have you guys seen that one, True Romance?
I passively watched it one time.
Love it.
I threw my hands up in the air a lot, so no.
Fair enough. Do you guys have any honorable mentions? Ashley, what do you got on yours?
My honorable mentions were Eternal Sunshine, because that movie's awesome. Mm-hmm. I saw Shape of Water for the first time like a few months ago. And
oh,
that was pretty good.
Movie.
Yeah, the fish fuck movie. And then the other one was Her.
So you guys are getting on me about pedophilia, but fucking the fish is okay?
No.
Hey, the fish is of consenting age. And then my other one's with AI, so it's fine.
Puppy, no.
It's on honorable mention. I like Her.
Her.
Johansson is her most emotional.
That's an out-of-the-box pick. I like that, too. Joaquin Phoenix is amazing in that.
And neither is that relationship. It's fucking weird.
I like Her. It is fucking weird, but it's interesting.
It's fucking... No, it's not. If you would have also said
I can't even pick honorable mentions, right? Like, all I can do is piss him off.
No.
All I can do is piss this man off. I can't even win if I try.
Even in your honorable mentions.
Decent, but like it's a dude fucking. It's a dude who can't have sex with an AI. At least if you would have picked Ex Machina, there's a fucking android in front of him. And that makes more fucking sense. But that's still weird.
It's an emotional romance.
No, it's not.
Yes.
It's a computer. It doesn't have emotions.
It has emotions. It has more emotions than you can even comprehend.
He loved her, though, man. He loved her.
He loved her so much.
He had a relationship with her.
Because he's a shut-in.
He has mental issues.
Yeah, but you know what? People with mental issues need love, too.
Sure, but he also needs help.
Damn,
well, he's not going to get it. Maybe she can find somebody in the white pages because she's also a computer.
Oh, my God.
Dan, give us some of your honorables that are pure, man. What do you got?
Oh, my God.
See, even when I don't try, I can't win with you, Dan.
No.
It's fine.
In reality, like I said, Brokeback Mountain would have been one.
Sure.
The other one, and it's because... I didn't put this on the list because, like, it's kind of like a really one-sided romance. Like, you get kind of like this idealized side romance from one side.
Mm-hmm.
It is what are their names? It's 500 Days of Summer. Oh, Tom and Summer. It's Tom and Summer from 500 Days of Summer. But you're mostly getting it from Tom's perspective, and like everything seems awesome until it's not, and he picks up on it too late that everything's not awesome,
mm-hmm.
and like. Like, the way it's portrayed is, like, Summer's kind of a bitch, but that's only his side of the story, and I'm sure, like, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, it wouldn't be... Like, I think Summer gets a bad rap for that. Like,
gotcha.
Because it's all from Tom's perspective. And, like, we get, like, here and there, like, hey, you never fucking listen. And that's fine, but, like, we never get enough of Summer's perspective, and I get it's supposed to be from Tom's perspective, but, like, we never get enough of her perspective to understand, like, okay, this is why she really didn't, like, why it ultimately got out. But, like, the time they spent together is portrayed as magical, but I don't know if it's necessarily magical because of how, like, the rose-tinted glasses got put on Tom.
Gotcha. All right. Listen, guys, I think that you all are going to have some fun with these. So I'm going to go over to Twitter and Facebook real quick and just open up the suggestion box and see what you guys comment on a couple of these, because I like the banter we got going here. So I think maybe we'll have some venom to throw at these guys.
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
So listen. So you guys know Paul from the Countdown.
No,
okay, so
I loved his one.
I
almost put that one to the first one that he said.
So he's got Wade Wilson and Vanessa from Deadpool, and he says, "Fight me." He says, "Fight me."
I will.
And then he's got. And then he's got. Go ahead.
That's a good romance.
Let me go in. Let me go in.
Sure.
Let me ask you something. okay, so
he loves her so much.
He loves her so much.
He does. Yeah.
That he doesn't talk to her for fucking 3/4 of the movie.
The first movie, yeah.
Exactly. We're talking about and then she dies
movie.
In the second one.
Yeah, and then he's trying
her.
So
How
hard
much
to.
How does he love her if he can't protect her?
He's also got Sean and Liz from Shaun of the Dead. He says, "Fight me more."
I will. That's stupid.
And then he's got Mike and Blaine and Predator, and he says, "No more fighting. I'm spent." I think he may have known he was going to lose that one.
He's going for that bromance angle. Fine.
This is on the Facebook fan page. And then Tony Dobbish from Take Two says, "When Harry Met Sally, no one mentioned," which I'm surprised.
I've never seen it.
Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, one of the greatest rom-coms ever. Maybe the greatest.
I can't envision anyone actually being attracted to Billy Crystal, so I don't buy it.
that's a fair
not
assessment.
Happening.
Fair enough. He's also says Wesley and Buttercup and The Notebook. No one mentioned The Notebook. We talked about
Gosling.
I don't
like The Notebook. The Notebook's full of shit. That's a bullshit movie.
The only cute thing about The Notebook is that they die together. And thank God they died, because God damn it, could I not take any more of that movie.
Over on Twitter, actually, a good friend of ours, Gidget Von LaRue over there, said Han and Leia from The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. What do you guys think about that? Star Wars.
I fucking hate Star Wars so much.
I know you do. I know you do. Dan, what do you think? Han and Leia?
Star Wars is fine.
Yeah, that's good romance. She's also got Barbara and Adam from Beetlejuice, which was Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis.
There's
yeah.
no romance in that movie. They just happen to be dead at the same time and have to get around it. They don't love each other in that movie.
And then the last one I'll mention, just because I loved it, I almost put it in my top five when I saw his suggestion, but Steve from Everything I Love About Movies said he can't come up with five, but he knows one for sure, which
Ooh,
is
yeah.
Gomez and Morticia from the Addams
Family.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
That is actually a really good one.
Which was a good one, and that almost ended up being my number five when I saw that.
That should have been in there. That's a great one.
So that's it, guys. You know, you guys
love him.
You guys did the lover spat thing, but that's cool. I mean, I'm just happy to be talking to you two, to be honest with you. I miss you guys. So Dan and Ashley are here. We just counted out our cinematic romances, or at least I did. They just kind of argued.
I did too. Stop pushing this dumbass narrative.
You did a few. You did a few. Ashley was definitely trying to piss you off, though.
Well, Dan played your game. Dan did everything he was supposed to do.
I Love You, Man, which is a romance, which is still technically a romance.
I guess I'm looking at it, because I wrote them down here, Dan, and I'm looking at it, and I guess when I saw I Love You, Man and Amazing Spider-Man as your first two, I'm like,
okay. Amazing Spider-Man is legit.
I'm like, okay, he's fucking with me. But
no,
the last
Amazing Spider-Man is legit.
Your top three, you saved it. I'm like, okay, he means
Amazing
something here.
Amazing Spider-Man is legitimate. Watch those movies again.
Hey, Dan, I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Oh, my God. So listen, Dan, do you want to tell people where to find you real quick? Give them the website or whatnot?
Yeah, you can find me on the Rabbit Ears TV podcast.
They're on hiatus.
Actually, that is kind of true. You can find me for the SpongeBob and Power Rangers episode. Both of those were done
throwback.
While Ashley and I were dating, so you can hear me be a good friend to Ashley.
Good friends.
No, more seriously, you can find me at NetflixandSwill.com. That is NetflixandSwill.com. NetflixandSwill.com.
Say it again.
You can find... I'm actually about to write my first review in over 6 months on the website.
On what?
Close. It's Mira Pace's new movie,
which we just finished an hour and a half ago.
What a thing that was.
Wow.
Fuck.
Haven't seen it.
It just came out on Netflix today.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'll say for now. You can also find Caleb's reviews there. A link to our merch store where I just put up the new shirt with the new logo.
Oh, you guys got a new logo. That's right. Yeah,
new logo over there. Not that one that Ashley's holding up. Also, links to everywhere you can find the show, like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podplay, that kind of thing. Or if you want to give us money for some godforsaken reason,
I do. I do give you money.
These two buffoons. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they give us money, but if you would like to, you can find our Patreon link there, or you can go to patreon.com/netflixandswill and get some cool bonus content, like the worst five originals of 2018, according to myself and Caleb. Did you guys listen to that? I'm curious.
Not yet.
I'm halfway through.
Not yet. It's in my queue.
My number one is
don't spoil
like
it for me.
V8 moment for Caleb because he totally forgot about it.
Ah.
I don't blame him for forgetting about it. It's a piece of
it's
garbage.
A forgettable, right. It's Ashley, I love you. You're local to me. You brought me Starbucks at work.
Twice.
We saw a movie together.
We saw a movie with Dan, too.
And we saw a movie with Dan as well.
Didn't we? Infinity
and,
War?
We did. No. We didn't see a movie. He came to the bar.
That's right. Because you live at the Alamo.
I do. I'll be there tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to see Glass.
Yeah, I think that's why your wife is pissed at you.
Yeah, you might be onto something there. But my daughter's going to be in town this weekend. We're going to see Glass tomorrow night, which, I don't know, I might be torturing myself.
Fucking luck.
Yeah.
I have now seen
you know what you could do?
Yeah.
You could just give me $20 each, and then I could fucking throw some Glass at you, and that would be better.
I might be right. It might be get a better review. You might be right.
I've seen 3 reviews so far for Glass.
Well...
All 3 of them are negative, and they're from people who should love Glass.
I know. I'm worried, bro.
Save your money.
I'm one of those Shyamalan apologists. You know,
you're one of those Shyamalan
I want him to get back to his glory. You know what I mean? But
not
whatever.
It's over.
Not gonna happen.
Clearly not. All right,
don't
I love you.
Encourage
he
his
did.
Fucking
he did.
Bullshit.
He did the last Airbender movie, and from then on, he has been dead to me.
I understand that. That makes sense. Look, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for Ashley. Thank you for staying up late.
I know. I'm off tomorrow, so it's okay.
It means a lot, though. I appreciate it, and I know we had to postpone from last week. It means a lot, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. So for Dan and Ashley, this is Gerald signing off for this bonus episode of 2Ps. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, guys.
I love my bubby.
I love you, bubby.
We ended on a love note.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.